This is the State of Energy. I'm Randy Witt, along with Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. And we are being presented this week by Terry Smith and the team over at Steel Smith Tank and Equipment, someone who Tom has known for quite a long time.
Yeah, we really appreciate Terry and Steel Smith sponsoring our podcast today. We've known Terry for a really long time. He's always been a great sponsor of the Propane Association. And if you're up in the Missoula area or up in Montana anywhere and you need your propane truck worked on, Terry and his people over there at Steel Smith Tank and Equipment will definitely take care of you. I know he does testing. I know he does hydrostat tests, KV inspections. He'll keep your truck on the road. And if you're looking for a new truck, he's the man to call. So reach out to Terry and he'll take care of you.
Terry Smith and the team over at Steel Smith Tank and Equipment, been doing it for almost four decades. Like Tom said, if you're in the Missoula, Montana area, call 406-721-5405. 406-721-5405 for Terry Smith and the team over at Steel Smith Tank and Equipment. This is the State of Energy. My name is Rand DeWitt, and that gentleman is Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. How are you, Mr. Tom?
I am doing well. How are you, sir?
I'm getting swifty.
Gonna
get swifty in here.
Are you still recovering? Is that what's going on?
I mean, are we talking about the Patriots? I know. And Tom was so happy to let me know that one of our predictions in our previous show, we had done our 2022 predictions, and I predicted that it was going to be the New England Patriots and Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the Super Bowl. And as soon as the Patriots were down by 175 points in the first quarter, Tom wanted to text me. But, you know, I do have some wiggle room here because, you know, I did say that the 2022, would it be the 2022 season we were talking about, that it was going to be the Patriots? Do I have any wiggle room?
No, I don't think so.
No. I guess my proximity to the political world has given me some outs to try to dig out of. But, okay, fine. I'm 0-1 on my predictions for 2022. But, you know, hey, you know, do I get a half a credit if Tampa Bay goes?
Well, possibly.
Okay.
Possibly.
Well, thank you for your consideration. And folks, the State of Energy is letting you know about how propane is ready for action right now. It's for your home. It's for your business, for forklifts, for farms, virtually any fleet of vehicles. We're going to discuss how propane can do that and how it's energy for everyone. If you go to thestateofenergy.com, there's a ton of great information, Tom. And what will they see when they go to thestateofenergy.com?
Well, we're going on season 3.
Season 3 of the State of
Energy. Season 3. This is the first official episode of the year.
Right.
So we've got a bunch of previous podcasts you can listen to. We are listened to over 884 cities. 45 countries are listening to our show. So if you missed us in the previous episodes, go back, and there's links to everything that we talk about, rebates, all the different stories we talk about. It's a good place to actually find propane too. So if you're one of these guys that's out, the power's out and you need some heat, because you know there's that big winter storm that's just been wiping out the East Coast all month. Mm. And so if you need some propane and you don't know where to get it, go to the where to buy button on our website, put in your zip code, and the closest propane supply point will pop up.
Yeah, it works very easily. I've used it many times myself in many different situations. So once again, yes, that is a State of Energy. You can also find details on how to get a propane job. Because the propane industry is going to grow by nearly $50 billion over the next 5 years. And you, too, can be big ballin' propane haulin'.
Oh, boy, my brother is going to love that shout out to his
Oh, yeah, half of my wardrobe now is things that your brother has sent me. That's awesome.
Big ballin' gas haulin'? Big ballin' bottle haulin'?
Propane haulin'.
Jeez. Wow.
Ballin' Hauling, Propane Hauling. So you can get involved in that. There's many other jobs you can get in the propane industry. So you can actually go to findapropanejob.com. And we also have that link at thestateofenergy.com. And you can go back in time and see and listen to the our previous episodes over the past couple of years and see when we were right about things. Unlike me in the Super Bowl for 2022, I get it. But, you know, a lot of the things we were talking about in season one and season two are coming to fruition now.
Yeah, I mean, it's not very hard to predict that there's going to be some type of natural disaster or storm that's going to wipe out the electric grid.
Yeah.
I mean, that we're pretty good at predicting that.
Jeez. So folks, once again, go to thestateofenergy.com and understand one thing about the show. We're not anti-electric. We're not anti-wind, hydro, or solar. We just think that propane needs more attention and needs to be a part of an overall plan. Because like what happened in Texas, 11 months ago, you know, the whole electric grid failed and they were big on wind. I mean, things are in, and when everything failed, what'd they do? They brought propane in to help fix things and get people warmed up and to save some lives, because more than 200 people died in Texas last year during that big storm that they had. And the grid still remains kind of vulnerable there in Texas because the new regulations allowed too much wiggle room for companies to avoid weatherization improvements. And now Texas is facing yet, you know, another winter freeze, as they say. You know, and what was going on in the southeast and in the south across the United States, and what was going on up into New England, because New England lost power and they're doing a lot with renewable energies as well. And we're just trying to let everyone know that propane needs to be an option on the same level as electric, wind, hydro, and solar.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, these stories are everywhere, right? I mean, right now, Texas is bracing for, it says Texas power grid braces for a freeze that imperils fuel supply. Like, wow, that's here we go again, right? So
yeah,
if we keep pushing our fuel choices out of our lives, then eventually we're just going to be stuck with one thing. And then if there's a natural disaster or some type of domestic attack, or, you know, we've talked about some crazy things that could actually happen to the grid as well. And if you don't have those choices for alternative fuels like propane, then you're gonna be stuck with no power, no heat, and it's gonna be bad. It's gonna be a really bad deal. So we gotta keep fighting for those choices. Energy security is key. I mean, can you imagine not being able to have propane at your house because somebody made that decision in your community, some lawmaker that says, "Yep, we're not gonna allow fuels like propane to be delivered to your home anymore," and then some disaster happens and you can't cook, you can't heat. That could be a really bad deal.
It is, and you know what? There's a lot of people out there that are trying to make that happen, and we're just, you know what? Diversity is something that is big in American culture today, and we need energy diversity as well to make sure we're in the best possible situation to handle anything that's thrown at us, whether it's a terrorist attack on the grid like Tom was talking about, whether it's a deep freeze in one of the states. The grid is not where it needs to be for all the electricity we're, you know, going to be needing to tap into over the next few years to meet the requirements for all these electric vehicles.
Yeah, I mean, look at what happened recently with that volcano that erupted out in the ocean. I mean, can you imagine if that would have been a worse tsunami and really came up to the California coast and did some more damage? Can you imagine how many people would have been without power, heat?
Yeah.
Couldn't cook, couldn't, the water system would be contaminated. You wouldn't be able to boil your water. It would be pretty bad. I mean, I don't know how far up it would go, but you probably would have seen the effects of it as well. And you're way up on the mountains over there by the Hollywood sign, right?
Yeah, actually, I live in the O on the Hollywood sign. That's, if you look closely, you can see me in there. But they did that along the California coast, so like Laguna Beach shut down the 133 freeway, so people only were cars could only exit. There was, you know, an increase in the tide, but it was nowhere near what it what it could have been, but it's another warning sign on how we need to have multiple options when it comes to our fuel.
Yeah. If you're thinking about getting some more energy security for your business, for your home, for your farm, propane is there. It's locally stored at your house, at your farm, at your business. And so you don't have to worry about that grid supply coming in, and it can run everything. It could run water heat. It could run home heat. It could run your vehicle. It could run your electric generator. I mean, it's so versatile, and it's clean. It's the cleanest fuel known to man. Like, so it just makes sense to keep it around.
And well, yeah, I mean, think about what you were able to provide with a propane house.
Yeah.
We've got video of that. I mean, we've done video on that. We've done shows from the propane house. It literally, you know, operates on its own. Yeah. And it's clean. The fuel is abundant. And we've got some more propane housing plans coming up.
We do, yeah. So the propane, we got rid of the propane house. We sold the propane house, and we're going to build a new one.
Elon Musk didn't. Was he the one that bought the propane
house? I think
house?
He was, yeah. He had to have something to make sure that when the grid went down, he could still charge his car. So when we put the generator in there, we made sure that, you know, if the electric grid goes down, he could still charge his car and drive around and deliver hugs to everybody.
And we love Elon. Elon, we respect what you do. The man is a genius. He's created some amazing things. We just think that, you know, our grid here in the United States needs to catch up to where he's thinking we should be. It's a good way to put it, I think, right, Tom?
I think everybody thinks that. I mean, look at this story in the Wall Street Journal about this, the maximum efficiency for an EV. This guy's like, oh yeah, I just stick to 25 miles an hour and ignore angry drivers.
Yes.
Did you read that?
Yes. The story is out of the Wall Street Journal. It's entitled, "For Maximum EV Efficiency, Stick to 25 Miles an Hour, Ignore Angry Drivers, Because Hypermilers, there's the new thing. Hypermilers are in pursuit of extreme fuel efficiency in electric cars and invite road rage because of their painfully slow driving." And the story goes into this gentleman who's got a Ford Mustang Mach-E. It can hit 60 miles an hour from a standstill in 3.5 seconds, but he likes to drive it at 25, 30, 35 miles an hour. Why not just get a golf cart?
Well, you know, you know, the faster you go, even in your gas-powered car, the more gas it's going to consume. The same thing with electric vehicles. So if you want to be doing, you know, 95 miles an hour down I-15 here in Utah, because Utahns are crazy drivers. I mean, these guys are, you get on I-15 and you better be going 90 or else you're going to get ran over.
It's the Autobahn. It is the Autobahn. I will say that. I mean, I'm doing like 70 and I'm getting past like I'm standing still.
if you're in an EV, you've got to be using the most battery that you can in order to keep up with everybody. So that's, it's kind of wild that some of these ratings of how many miles per gallon equivalents you're going to get are really, if you're going pretty slow. So don't believe everything you read. Another story that from the National Association of Convenience Stores, it's reporting that 2/3 of Americans don't want an EV.
Right. Yeah. 69% of Americans don't want hybrid or electric for their next car. And most consumers, especially in the U.S., plan to stick with internal combustion tech for their next vehicles. And this survey that you can search from multiple sources. And it says the United States is we're number one for not wanting an electric car for the next one, followed by Southeast Asia at 66%, India at 58%, China's at 58%, Germany's at 49%. And why this matters? Because EV sales are growing, but extremely high market penetration sought by many regulators and activists will require major shifts in public confidence. The public does not have confidence that these cars are going to get done what they need to have done.
Well, we're constantly having power outages all over the place. And if you were, had an electric vehicle, that's all you relied on, and you're part of a place in the country that gets winter storms or hurricanes or wildfires, I think you'd be worried. That's why I don't have an EV. I do think the technology is cool. I think they got some cool things that you can't find in a gas powered car, but I wouldn't buy one just because all the natural disasters that wipe out the grid. I don't want to be stuck somewhere with my dead battery car and not be able to go anywhere. So it makes sense to want to clean the environment, right? But
right.
Electricity, as we know, is made by fossil fuels. I mean, look at here, right here in Utah, 60% of our electricity comes from coal. So if you're thinking about some way to clean up your fleet or clean up maybe it's a transit bus, maybe it's a school bus. Electric school bus just doesn't make sense, especially around here.
Right.
They're super expensive. They're huge batteries, and they don't have the range. The range anxiety is another thing to fear about, especially if you're hauling a bunch of kids around. So if you're thinking about getting a cleaner alternative fuel bus, choose propane.
It's a tremendous option because, I mean, I think that I always go back to this story you told me. You went in these really cold areas. If you have an electric bus, when you start it up in the morning, by the time you get it all heated up and warmed up inside, you got to recharge the battery.
Yeah. Can you imagine that? Like just trying to get the heat out of that electric battery just to keep everybody warm runs the battery down. And there's already over 22,000 propane buses operating in the U.S. right now. And we're trying to replace a clean fuel, like a propane powered bus, with a bus that's actually dirtier by going electric. Does that make any sense at all?
Well, no, none of this does. The way we're trying to ram EVs into our society before we get our electric grid set doesn't make any sense. It's like, as kids, you know, if you want to have your dessert, you got to eat your dinner. You know, if you're going to go out and play, you got to clean your room first. I mean, if you want EVs everywhere, let's fix the grid. I mean, but you know what? I do want to say that something you actually brought up, you know, a couple of months ago when we were talking about this, EVs are good for urban travel around town.
Yeah.
You know, I think you brought that up. I mean, that's where I think a good place for them, you know, where you're around the city, you're trying to, you know, not doing like high mileage stuff, and you can travel 25 miles an hour and people aren't going to shoot at you.
Yeah, if you were in a major city and just needed to go block to block for some short rides, it makes sense. But still, even using propane produces 43% fewer greenhouse gas emissions than the electric generated in the U.S. grid. I mean, can you think about that for a second? 43% less greenhouse gas emissions than electricity.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something that people, if they just would take 20 minutes of their day and really dig in and do some sort of research, they'll see what we've been talking about now for our third, you know, three seasons now.
Well, there's some money to get for a propane powered school bus in the new Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act that just got recently passed, but you don't hear about it. All you hear about is the electric grid and electric this, electric buses, electric municipality vehicles. If you read any news about that Infrastructure Act that just got passed, billions of dollars, and it all says electric. But deep down in there hiding, there is some opportunity for somebody who wants to be cleaner than electricity and get some propane powered buses for their school district. It's there, it's available. You have to dig a little bit deeper, and your local propane provider or your local propane association can help you get access to some of that.
You're listening to The State of Energy. That is Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. My name's Rand DeWitt. You can find out more about us at thestateofenergy.com. That is thestateofenergy.com. And you, I couldn't find it. Actually, I was looking for it. That quote from the Mazda CEO about electric vehicles.
Yeah, we gotta find that. So the Mazda comes out with this new electric, this little car that's, I don't know the exact name of it, though. We got to find this.
I believe it's called the golf cart.
what he comes out and says, though, is, you know, if you're going to buy this little electric car, make sure you have another car as a backup.
Yeah, and not just another car, you know, a gas-powered car is basically what he was saying. To have the CEO of a major car company say that speaks volumes. And we're going to be facing this decision sooner rather than later because President Biden unveiled an electric car plan that he said half of all new cars sold in the U.S. will be electric by 2030. By 2030. But in order for that plan to become a reality, energy and auto experts say the U.S. needs at least 5 to 10 times its current amount of EV chargers to bring the plan to fruition, not to mention the work that needs to be done on the grid to make that a possibility.
Yeah, can you? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen that quickly. These cars are expensive.
Yeah,
and go try to buy a car anywhere right now. You can't even get a new car, even if it's electric or a gas powered car. It's hard to get them. So
yeah, there's a lot off the coast of Long Beach right now. Sitting there for a few months.
There's a bunch of ships sitting out there. They, you know what they did with those boats is they just pushed them further out, so they're not. It doesn't look like they're right there in the bay anymore. So it's like, oh, look, we've cured it. But really, if you look at that ship app or that ship map that we talked about a few months ago, those boats are just pushed way out past where you can't see them. But they're still out there waiting in line to get unloaded.
Didn't some of them go to Florida, go all the way down south, go through the canal?
You saw a bunch of ports like, you know, telling everybody, hey, come over here, we'll get you unloaded faster. But I don't know if any of that happened. It's kind of one of those things, you know, you kind of take advantage of something bad just so you can try to promote yourself, right? You see that happen.
Who would do something like that?
I don't know. You don't want to let a bad disaster or something go to waste.
Who is that quote from? Somebody in the Clinton White House. I forget who said that. Never let. No, I think it was the former mayor of Chicago. What was his name? He was in the Rahm Emanuel. It was Rahm Emanuel. It says, never let a good crisis go to waste. Go ahead, Tom.
There you go. Never let a good crisis go to waste. But back to this Mazda story. These guys are building this car just to comply with the government's mandates that says you have to have so many electric cars in your offerings. Can you imagine that? Like, so now we're just making like this gimmick vehicle just to appease the lawmakers.
That doesn't make sense. It doesn't, you know, because we're wasting energy by making this happen. You know, we're going to have all of these extra vehicles that people are not going to be buying. And then what happens?
If you really want some energy security for your fleet of vehicles and you've got, let's say you just got 10 trucks that you're out delivering something that's critical service for people and you really want to cut emissions, save money, and have that energy security where you know you have that on-site fueling no matter what happens, you can buy a propane-powered vehicle today. You can buy a gas-powered vehicle and convert it to propane so it runs on both propane and gasoline. So you even got double the extended range. It's a no-brainer. It's available today. It's affordable, and it's here right now, clean emissions fuel for everyone.
I know, and you know, we've talked about that fleet of vehicles. I think it was in South Carolina or North Carolina, a company that bought like 20 of them, and seeing all kinds of great things happen because of that. You know, good environment, saving money.
Oh, lots of police fleets, plumbers. There's all sorts of people that are already taking advantage of using propane as their fleet fuel. But you just don't hear about it very often. It's not mainstream media. It's not cool like an electric vehicle is, but it's cleaner.
Yeah.
And it's here. It's available. If you really wanted to do something, you can get a hold of your propane provider and say, hey, look, I got these 10 vehicles. I heard about converting them to propane on the State of Energy. What can you help me with? And there's a bunch of companies. Roush, we've talked to Roush. They got that Godzilla engine. Cummins is coming out with a new propane powered engine right now for the bigger trucks. It's here. It's available. You just got to do a little bit more digging to get to it.
And you know, and we all agree that the diesel vehicles just need to be done away with. But just take this number into consideration. Propane reduces harmful nitrogen oxide emissions by up to 96% compared to diesel.
If you tie that in with some renewable propane that's available, remember we can have like a negative carbon footprint if you use renewable propane with your fleet engines.
That is Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. My name is Randy Witt, and we are always online at thestateofenergy.com.